Our HBCU Legends series is returning now here on From the Press Box to Press Row. And I know when you talk about the Patriots and you talk about tight ends, I know these days everyone talks about Rob Gronkowski. But let me tell you something. The greatest tight end of all time in New England Patriots history is Ben Coates, who came out of Livingstone, as a matter of fact. And right now he joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row as part of our HBCU Legend Series. Ben, Happy New Year and welcome to the program.
Well, Happy New Year to you also, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. Let me begin here. I want to get your thoughts on the matchup between your former team. You played 10 years, of course, in the National Football League, 9 of those with the Patriots and the Texans. On this upcoming weekend, the Texans coming up with a big win over the Raiders last week.
Well, I sat there and I watched that game, and, you know, all the home teams, and I looked at it, all the home teams won this weekend, which kind of weird. You know, you always have some wild card team go in there and do some damage somewhere, but unfortunately, you know, no one pulled it off as far as the road team this past weekend.
Yeah, no question about it. Any chance that what kind of chance do you give the Texans against your former team, the Patriots?
Well, they got a chance. I mean, they're all professionals, and, you know, they're going into a hostile environment, and they're going to have their A game on. They can't have no mistakes, and they can't do anything. They have to play a perfect game to beat those guys up there. They're a good team. They've been a good team for the last 14, 15 years, and they know how to win at home. And that's what it all boils down to, that home field advantage. And as you talk to a lot of people, I'm quite sure, playing at home gives you that advantage no other team, you know, you can imagine having the home field advantage.
You know,
and that's one of the worst places in the world to play, is in Foxborough Stadium with all those fans yelling and screaming. It's just a nightmare for opposing teams.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben, the thing about it, I mean, I mentioned Gronkowski, who's injured right now, has, you know, had a really, really, really good career, really a dominant career, but he's had some health issues. Your thoughts, how good is Rob Gronkowski?
Gronk is good as he wants to be. His issue still remains, you know, his health issues, you know, protecting himself. And, you know, you kind of remind me of myself when you're taking on two or three of defenders when they're trying to bring you down, you know, at some point, I mean, it catches up with you, you know, it wears and tears on the body, people hitting you left and right, and it's hard to protect the body, but at the same token, you got to know when and where to go down and get out of bounds. At some point, you have to do that.
Yeah. That's the voice of former NFL player, 10 years in the National Football League, a Super Bowl champion, also Ben Coates, who joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row, of course, played his collegiate ball at Livingstone. And I don't know how you view this, Ben, but I mean, you know, within the last couple of years, you were inducted into the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. Why isn't Ben Coates in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And shouldn't he be?
Good question. It's all up to the voters and the writers and the voters and the owners. And, you know, obviously, the times haven't came for my name to be brought up with all the elite players. But as I look at it, you know, I don't let that hamper me. I don't hold no grudges or anything like that. If it's meant to be, it will be. If it's not meant to be, it's fine. I had a great career. I'm within the top five when I retire. You know, I had a great time, so I don't want to let any of that damper anything that's going on with me. You know, some guys are like, man, you should have been in the Hall of Fame. But, hey, what are you going to do? You can't cry without a milk.
Yeah. No, I know, and you're right. I mean, it's not necessarily up to you, and you certainly did have a great career. Take me back to those days in New England, your first couple of years. You were a fifth-round draft choice, I should say, out of Livingstone, and maybe, you know, didn't really get the look maybe you deserved those first couple of years. Then along comes Bill Parcells, and everything changes. When Bill Parcells came to New England, talk about how it changed for you and really ultimately the Patriots.
the biggest thing was for me, you know, getting in and making that transition from HBCU, coming from Livingstone to CIAA, which is a good conference, and I thought that, you know, we had quite a few players that had already came from the CIAA that was already in the league, and the transition was no different. And, you know, you're a man, I'm a man. You know, only different is you play against better competition, and I'm not saying that we have less competition, but some of the guys we played against in my conference made it to the NFL also. So it wasn't a less of a conference. We dominated the conference that we was in, and I dominated the CIAA when I was in the CIAA. And my first couple of years is making that transition from 3,000 people in the stand to 70,000 people in the stand, and being able to translate from that and everything moving really, really, really fast. So you had to adapt to what was coming at you with the playbook, and, you know, because we didn't have a playbook at all. So you had to learn about what's on the board, and you go about that, and that was it. So, you know, football was, you know, you had education, you had football, and then football became my primary job. So I had to put my focus into football like I did my focus in the education.
Yeah, and it what about, yeah, no question about it. But how did things change, I mean, for you? And again, once, you know, as you seem to really flourish once Bill Parcells, once Drew Bledsoe, et cetera, kind of came in. Can you kind of talk about that, and then ultimately how things changed for you for the better?
Well, things changed in a good way for the organization. And also things really changed for me when we drafted Bledsoe. I mean, my first 2 years, we had, like, you know, quite a few quarterbacks in and out. And I was playing behind a two-time Pro Bowler, and me and him started spending time. And then the first year we split time. Second year we split a little more time. And the third year it's like, hey, I don't see myself being on this bench no more, because I'm better than a lot of these players that we're playing against. And some of these tight ends, I look at, I'm like, wait a minute, whoa. Even the guy that I was playing behind, I'm like, wait a minute, something has to change here. So, you know, when we got the quarterback, Bledsoe, and Parcell came in, I know he was a big tight end guy. I'm like, hey, this is my opportunity. You know, it's like me and Bledsoe, we just gelled together. And, you know, I was his security blanket, and everything from there, you know, we started on and up and up and up, and we helped bring that organization up to where it is now. And that's the good thing I like to see about the organization. You catch it at the bottom, and we was about 6-10, 5-10, 6-10, 1-2 and 14, and now you look at them 15, 20 years down the road, they're in the playoffs, they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't help but to be happy for us.
No, I think it's no question about it, particularly when you look at where New England is now, and you're right, even back then, and even when going to the Super Bowl, if I recall correctly, in 85, that was one of the last years, and then your crew comes in and it kind of elevates and really puts it on the path to where it is now.
Right.
Being able to win that Super Bowl, I know you wanted to win. How did you feel about not being able to win a Super Bowl with the Patriots for the 9 seasons you were there?
Well, that is the frustrating part, because I just knew in my heart, we all knew that was on that 9-16, that we had a chance to win that game. And the game was playing perfect. We was back and forth, and it was just, we thought we was going to win that game, but it was just the nail breaker when Desmond Howard ran that ball back, you know. And, you know, all hell broke loose after that. You know, found out Parcells was leaving, and, you know, a lot of other people, you know, had left also. The whole coaching staff left. And but the whole thing was, you know, and I still think to this day, if Troy Brown would have dressed, he'd have made that tackle on Desmond Howard. Troy Brown didn't play in that first Super Bowl, and he was predominantly a special team player back then. And he was one of the key special team players at that.
Wow.
But it's 20 years ago now, so, you know, you can always hold on to something.
Yeah. No question about it. Ben Coates, former tight end, of course, in the National Football League, 10 years, 9 of those with the New England Patriots. He joins us here on the program as part of our HBCU Legends Series. How did things – you still were putting up the numbers, Ben, even after that, as the coaching staff and transition sort of changed. How did things change for you once Bill Parcells left?
Well, really, things didn't really change, because we still had a pool of guys that was there. I was there before Parcells, and then we drafted Curtis Martin, Sam Gatz. We had a core group of guys still there on the offensive side. And what happened was, when some of those guys left, we were still trying to bits and pieces, put some pieces here and there. But at the end, you know, new coaching staff doesn't work out. Pete Carroll, he's a great coach, but at that time, he wasn't a professional football coach. He was a college coach. And I do believe he has really grown up to what he's doing in Seattle. He's doing a great job in Seattle, but everybody has their growing pains. But the thing changed for me in 94 was my best year. 95 was another good year. And 96, the number was good, 94, 95. But 96, I do believe it was my best year because with Terry Glenn and Sean Jefferson actually getting some receivers to help me out because, hey, you take a beating in that middle when everybody know the ball is going to number 87. It's two defenders, three defenders. It doesn't matter, but the ball's still going to go to 87. And to get those guys to help out, that was, I felt to me, was my best part of my career. It was 96, 97, 98 was the best part of my career.
Yeah. No, the numbers definitely would indicate that, still playing at a very high level. And then, of course, your last year was in Baltimore in 2000. Even though I know you didn't get to win the Super Bowl with the team that drafted you, the Patriots, at the end of the day, you retired as a Super Bowl winner. What did it mean to be a part of that Patriots team in 2000 and win that Super Bowl?
The Ravens team in 2000.
Wait, say that again?
We're talking about the Ravens. We're talking about the Ravens team, not the Patriots team in 2000.
Yeah,
right?
Baltimore, correct.
Yeah. Okay. It felt, I'll tell you, it was an unbelievable feeling, man, to go to a Super Bowl and lose one and know how it feels to lose, and now you be on the other side and you know how it is to win. It was unbelievable. I'm like, well, this is what I played all these years. This is what I did all this hard work for. This is what I did on the studying, the running. Granted, I didn't have to play much. We had myself and Shannon, but we played a lot of double tights. But hey, any means, any kind of way to get a Super Bowl, and you can ask anybody that plays in that league, this league, any kind of way you can get one, hey, you better be grateful because some people will play 15, 20 years and never get a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I was lucky to go to two.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's no question about it. When did you know? Did you know after that, Ben, that it was time to retire?
Well, I could have went another 2 years, but the body was so much beat up from New England and the cold weather and all that. It's just like, okay, here it is. You're going to try to go into your 11th season. It's like, you're having all these little nagging injuries that just won't go away. So I'm like, you know what? It's time to walk away. You got to know when to walk away. And I do believe it was my time to walk away at the time I walked away from it.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not turning back and say, what if, you know, I know I ended my career with 499 catches, but guess what? I'll take them any day, any and every day.
Yeah.
That would not change the thing.
Yeah. No, a phenomenal, no question, a great career. And then, of course, take us back. You alluded to, you know, Livingstone in those days, and again, a former fifth-round draft pick out of Livingstone. What do you remember most about those days at Livingstone?
Mostly what I remember about those days, and, you know, I see some of the guys now, Will Frizzell, Robert Massey, Donald Frank, some of the guys that I played against, went to Central, went to Winston, how we just sat around and we'll call each other now. We wasn't friends when we played each other, but we got to the league, we became friends because we was on different teams. We came from the same conference, you know, we just sat around and we were just talking to him, man, you was the biggest tight end I ever seen in college, man. We had a cornerback trying to cover a tight end because no one else could cover you. And just having the camaraderie with the guys, you know, and, you know, a lot of my former teammates from Livingstone, we just sat around and just talk about the good old days when we went to classes and how we had our dirt track and really no practice field and just the little things that we didn't have what the guys have now. And, you know, I think they need to learn to appreciate what they have now because 20, 30 years ago, it was a different story.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right. There's no question about that. And you know, that senior year, you know, I don't have any numbers in front of me, but to be, as you mentioned, and even back then, because it's a lot less, like you have a lot less, or back then when you played, it was a lot, no, it wasn't any internet or anything like that. No. People really had to know that you were a really good player, and obviously they found you. What do you remember most about that senior year and then that offseason in terms of preparing to be drafted and then therefore play in the National Football League?
Well, in 1987, after my first season in 87, I started receiving letters from the National Football League. I started seeing letters from – I received a letter from the Giants, Minnesota, San Diego, you know, a couple of other teams. Wow, after one season, that was, like, interesting. Like, wow, okay. So I just kept, you know, kept my whole nose down and just kept, you know, to the grind and just kept going, and, you know, made the best of every opportunity that I got. And to be honest with you, man, I got noticed when we played once in Salem. That's how I got noticed. There's a guy named Donald Franks, a DB. They got an interception, and he took off, and he got an interception. Somebody got an interception. I'm not sure who got an interception. And I was on one side of the field. He was on the other side of the field, and I actually ran him down, and the NFL was that actually hit that game scouting him.
Wow.
And that's how my name got on the bus to the NFL and all of that stuff, and started really getting heavy as far as team coming and recognizing and noticing it. Because my senior year, you said my senior year, I came out my junior year. I didn't stay my senior year because we was in transition at Livingston with a new coach, and I didn't want to go through that transition of going through that all over again, so I just came out.
Wow. Wow. Nice. See, we learn something all the time. The one and only Ben Coach joins us here on the program. A couple of more thoughts, Ben, and we appreciate the time. How has the tight end position changed from when you played?
Well, the tight end position has really changed because back in my era, we was 245, 250, and that was kind of the biggest of tight ends that could run, you know, catch, block, and do everything. Now these guys have revolved to 260, 265, 270. The average with us was like 6'4". Now they're about 6'7", 6'8". And a lot of them are former basketball players.
Yeah.
They're pulling guys from basketball and making the transition from basketball to football. And that's the thing I see a lot more now. And the other thing I see is they're all pass catchers. A lot of them, as you look at them, they're not run blockers. And my era, you had to be able to block first with Parcells, and then you can go out for a route. But you got to be able to block first. And a lot of these guys don't really block. They just stand there in like a shield. I give it to Gronkowski. He's a blocker and a pass catcher. I give it to Witten. He's a blocker and he's a receiver.
Right.
And it's just a couple more the same way. It's a couple more guys that I'm leaving out. But, yeah, I give those guys credit. They can block and they go down the field and catch the ball.
Yeah, which again, to me, and I know you alluded to it and I asked you about it before, but to me speaks to why you should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think sometimes we look at the numbers a little bit too much, but we got to go by that eye test. Your days after, so you coached in the National Football League, you coached at Livingstone, you coached at a couple of different places. What was that like, your time after your playing days and being a coach and being able to bring the game to young people?
Well, the biggest thing was it was to bring the game to young people. But my biggest thing was for me was when I was coaching is to be able to go and get a young man and being able to help this young man out and show him and tell him, okay, you got football is one thing. Okay, I need you to get your education because football is going to end one day. It's going to end for everybody one day. I mean, I play. What am I doing now? Coaching. So it's going to end. So I need you to get your education. You can be a great athlete. If you go to the next level, that's a bonus. But it's not guaranteed that you're going to play 10 years like I did. The average span for a player is 1 to 3 years. And then you're against the wall when you're coming from HBCU. Because, one, they don't think that you can be able to compete with the talent level that they have. And that's what you have to prove them wrong. But that's all in your heart. You don't have to do that yourself. But I just wanted them to go to school, play sports, graduate, and help them be a better person in society. Get a job and do what you want to do and go on and live your life the way you want to live it. Instead of working at a McDonald's or a Wendy's or, you know, a job that you're not going to make a lot of money at.
Right. And for you these days, I think your last coaching stop may have been at Central State. For you, what are you up to these days?
No, St. Augustine.
Oh, you at St. Augustine's. Okay. When were you there?
2013.
Okay. All right. And so what are you up to these days?
I'm up to just watching. I got three sons. One's at Livingstone, one's a junior in high school, and one's in his seventh grade. And watching these three grow as they try to follow my path and keep stressing to them, the education is first, football is second. If you're able to follow your old man and do what he did, that's a bonus, but your education first, because sports will end. And you want to look at it how I look at it, that's the best way it's going to be. And you're going to have nagging injuries, and you're going to have a lot of pain over the years of playing sports. So I just follow them, help them out with questions they have, show them and teach them. But these days and age, these kids, once they get a certain age, he's like, you can show them, you can tell them. They got their own mind these days.
Yeah. 10 years in the National Football League, 4,999 receptions for 5,555 yards, 50 touchdowns, won a Super Bowl in 2000 with the Baltimore Ravens, 9 seasons, of course, with the New England Patriots. Ben Coates joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Ben, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and in the development of your sons.
I got one question for you, though.
Sure.
What does it take for a player in my magnitude to get into CIAA Hall of Fame or North Carolina Hall of Fame? Because I'm just curious, because like I said, every time somebody interviews, I always have a tough question at the end, because my home state, South Carolina, put me in Hall of Fame, and I only played 1 year of high school football in South Carolina. And I'm like, wow, this is totally like a disrespectful thing when your home state put you in there for one season of high school, and you don't get the recognition in North Carolina when you spent 3 years college ball there. No, like you said, we didn't have the internet back then.
Okay. Well, somebody must have kept them via hand or something, you know.
Via hand back in the late 80s? Good luck on that.
Wow. Man, that's rough. Okay.
Well. I mean, that's what we were. I mean, HBCU, I mean, a lot of stuff was done by hand. A lot of stats was overlooked. A lot of stats was not put in the system. That's what we're working with. But, you know, like I said, I'm biased for all that stuff. I mean, if it's meant to be, it will be. But I'm cool. I got my jacket from South Carolina. I got my jacket from the Patriots. So, and my college done a retirement jersey, my high school retirement jersey. So, I'm cool with those.
Okay. Now, I appreciate you coming on, and continued success in all you do.
All right.